Ritual, written by the Hoyden and read by Eos Rose. The first time, it's an accident. Or at least, Haruka's pretty sure it is. Kentaro can usually do a decent job of taking care of himself, although Haruka considers it an ill-advised move to let him out unsupervised. Still, Kentaro's more than capable of handling a jealousy-enraged yokai who can throw strands of hair that have more in common with steel darts than with anything that actually grows from a human's head. But, of course, he gets distracted when the yokai threatens Yoko, and so one hair dart gets by his defenses and shreds his Joey and Hito clean through to the skin at the shoulder. Kentaro dispatches the yokai relatively quickly, and everybody's happy. Kentaro even gets paid for his troubles this time, much to the delight of Yoko, who is already nattering on about things she can buy at the market with their reward. Haruka is tuning it all out because there's something terribly distracting about the bared expanse of Kentaro's pale skin. This makes no sense to Haruka because he's seen Kentaro nude. Why should one shoulder prove so suddenly interesting when he's already seen the whole package? It might warrant further investigation. Haruka knows through experience that it's unwise to take your eyes off Kentaro. Kentaro is a schemer, and he tends to drag people into his plans before thinking. The next thing you know, you're wearing a stupid costume and trying to relieve people of their valuable books by flirting with older women. Haruka still owes Kentaro some retribution for that one. Kentaro is in drag again, for reasons that Haruka would rather not waste his time contemplating. "What do you think?" Kentaro asks, adjusting his wig. Haruka surveys him lazily. "At least you're not ugly," he says finally. "Most men make ugly women, but you're small enough that it's convincing." Kentaro glares at Haruka over his shoulder. "Are you calling me a little boy?" Haruka lets his non-smile do the talking, and Kentaro turns his back to the mirror with a huff. "Wait," Haruka says after a minute. He reaches out and takes the back of Kentaro's kimono collar in one hand and gives it a judicious tug downward. "There," he says, his eyes following the shapely line of Kentaro's neck where it disappears into the muted but lovely kimono. His nape is pale too, just like his shoulders. Yoko has been known to moan on occasion that Kentaro has prettier skin than she does, and Haruka is now inclined to agree. "Haruka?" Kentaro says after a few moments, sounding curious. Haruka makes a minute and unnecessary adjustment to Kentaro's wig. "You're set," he says shortly. Kentaro smiles at him brilliantly. "I'll be home soon!" Haruka takes greater interest than he probably should in watching Kentaro leave. Kentaro has the body weight of a squirrel and should probably never drink in public. Fortunately, they are not truly in public. They're at Yumiyako's residence, and from the way Yumiyako keeps filling Kentaro's cup, it won't be long before he's drunk and singing. Or, apparently, if Yumiyako has her way, drunk and dancing. "Kentaro," she says, alternately laughing and cajoling, "you have to dance. You made me teach you." Yoko has been giggling all night in a way that's seriously grating on Haruka's ears. "Dance, Kanchan, dance!" It doesn't take much more sake before Kentaro is rising to his feet with the fluid, loose-limbed grace of the happily sloshed. This isn't to say that he's altogether coordinated at the moment, but it's a reasonable approximation. "Dance with me," Kentaro whines to Yumiyako. She laughs and shakes her head. "I can't dance with you, Kentaro. Who would play the music if I did?" Yumiyako settles on the floor with her shamisen and loans Kentaro one of her fans. Haruka sits back and waits for Kantaro to fall on his backside, because there's no way this will turn out well. Yumiyako strikes the first few notes, and Kantaro brings up the fan to his face. He might be drunk, but the brightness of his eyes doesn't altogether hide their slyness. Kantaro's dance is slow and deliberate, and the joke is on Haruka because he didn't know that Kantaro could look so inviting. His gi is loosened a little from his movements, so that his collarbone is plainly visible, and the soft, worn cotton shifts flirtatiously on his shoulders. Haruka knows he is staring, but everyone else is, too. As predicted, Kantaro trips over the hem of his hakama and lands in a drunken, giggling heap on the floor. He crawls over to where Haruka is sitting. "Haruka," Kantaro says, his voice warm and affectionate and devastating in only the way Kantaro can be. "Haruka, that's the first time I ever danced."
"Oh?"
Kantaro slumps against him, fitting perfectly into his side. "I didn't do it before. I wouldn't even try." Haruka tucks one arm around Kantaro's waist, purely in the interests of keeping him upright, of course. And he thinks of what else Kantaro hasn't tried, what other things he might be able to do now. Oddly, it's Mu-chan who first notices, and Sugino who calls him on it. Haruka and Sugino are sitting on the roof, where Sugino is cooling down after his latest marital spat with Mu-chan. Mu-chan is too free with her affections for Sugino's liking, although Haruka personally believes that living in the wilderness together might not be isolation enough for Sugino.
"It's not that I don't want her to have any male friends," Sugino says. "It's just that Kantaro, he's always inviting her to tea and not inviting me."
"Mu-chan usually comes here by herself. Kantaro just invites her because she's here already," Haruka points out, reasonably.
"But why does she come here?" Sugino wails. "Am I not enough for my Mu-chan?"
Haruka closes his eyes briefly and prays for patience.
"Shouldn't you be upset, too? Mu-chan says you're keeping a close eye on Kantaro," Sugino says, knowingly.
"He named me. Of course I'm keeping a close eye on him," Haruka says, slowly and clearly, as if addressing an idiot. Sugino heaves a sigh that sounds suspiciously sympathetic.
"I'm warning you, it'll only end in tears. I remember the first time I saw Mu-chan's knees. There was just no turning back after that. So what about Kantaro caught you? After all, he's really very human."
Haruka does not dignify that with a response.
Kantaro can be such a mouthy annoyance during the day, bemoaning the cruel fate of being subject to publishing deadlines and taking every opportunity to go herring off to find monsters instead of writing articles to put food on the table. It's true that he can be petty and materialistic, not to mention lazy, but Haruka finds it hard to hold that against him at night. Because at night, Kantaro sometimes joins him on the roof, or they sit together on the porch, and all of Kantaro's selfish bravado melts away to show his quiet, contemplative side. Haruka used to only see it when Kantaro was dealing with yokai, when Kantaro would display remarkable compassion and sensitivity. But Kantaro has opened up a little, slowly and steadily. Kantaro continues to chatter and whine during the day, but at night he's quiet and thoughtful, and Haruka finds he doesn't mind Kantaro's company at all. It's a cool spring night, and Kantaro is considerately keeping his cup filled with chilled sake. Kantaro has pretty hands, slender and graceful, and he carefully holds his sleeve out of the way when he pours, affording Haruka a glimpse of wrist and forearm. Kantaro would probably deny having learned anything from Yumiyako, but there's something so delightfully courtesan-like about Kantaro's manners that Haruka wonders. Kantaro sighs softly. It sounds like a contented sigh, and Haruka understands that. It's a peaceful night, with decent sake and Kantaro by his side. Maybe, Haruka reflects, they've gone about this all backwards.
They've done the dramatic rescues, self-sacrificing, and vowing never to let go. And for all that, Kantaro's cheeks flush pink when Haruka is too close, or when Haruka lets his gaze linger, his lips have yet to so much as grace Kantaro's cheek. They have, however, slept in the same futon. It's a pity that Haruka wasn't awake for that. Kantaro is keeping a respectable distance between them, and Haruka decides that's the first thing to go if they're going to get anywhere. So he slides over a little on the porch into Kantaro's space. Kantaro is plainly startled by the movement. He shoots a sidelong glance at Haruka before reaching for the sake bottle.
"More?" he says politely.
"I'll get it," Haruka says, reaching around Kantaro for the bottle. He can feel Kantaro's quick inhalation when Haruka picks up the bottle and tilts it into his cup, Kantaro effectively in the circle of his arms.
"I poured too much," Haruka notes. "It might spill."
He's holding the cup in front of Kantaro, and the question really is, will Kantaro drink, or will Kantaro run? Kantaro is apparently done running because he licks his lips once, and then leans forward to drink from Haruka's cup. Haruka doesn't have anywhere near the attachment to this cup that he does to his bowl, but it's startlingly intimate to see Kantaro's lips curved around the edge, delicately sipping the excess sake with his eyes closed. Haruka takes the cup away, and Kantaro makes a little noise, like he's disappointed. Haruka decides to make it up to him by leaning down and kissing Kantaro gently, and then licking his way into Kantaro's mouth. He thought that Kantaro might squeak with surprise, or moan, but Kantaro makes no noise at all. He seems to soften under Haruka's touch, and his arms come up to hesitantly circle around Haruka's neck, his chilly fingertips a pleasant little shock where they touch Haruka's skin. "Inside," Haruka murmurs against Kantaro's lips. Kantaro freezes for a moment, but he accepts Haruka's offer of a hand up, and then they're slipping into the quiet darkness of the house. Yoko must have gone to bed early because the lights are doused, but they can find their way by memory and touch. Haruka slides Kantaro's bedroom door open and turns to look at Kantaro. There's enough moonlight to see Kantaro clearly, his hair shining silver and his eyes even darker, missing their normal shading towards red. The expression on his face is just this side of diffident, and Haruka's been waiting for Kantaro to be strong enough to take the first step. But maybe it was just the slightest bit unreasonable to expect Kantaro to have to take it alone.
"Kantaro," he says,
and he's mildly surprised at how raw his voice sounds. Kantaro blinks as though he's woken from a daydream, and then he steps into the bedroom with Haruka and pulls the door shut behind him. Haruka has dreamed of pulling Kantaro's protective armor of lies, half-truths, Joey, and Hito from his body, leaving him exposed and honest, all for Haruka to see and understand. But Kantaro's falsehoods are gone, and he has forgone his formal clothing for the household comfort of gi and hakama.
"Haruka?"
Kantaro says softly. He steps closer and lifts his chin. Haruka knows an invitation when he sees it, and this one has been long overdue. He pulls Kantaro into his arms and kisses him for a bit, still gently, and when he says,
"You named me Kantaro,"
what he means is, "I won't hurt you, you're not powerless." And Kantaro must have heard, because his hands are clutching at Haruka's shoulders and he's returning the kiss with hesitant passion. Haruka eases them down onto the futon, Kantaro spread out underneath him. Haruka contents himself for a while with pulling Kantaro's collar out of the way so that he can taste the curves and the hollows of Kantaro's neck, dragging his tongue hard down the tendon and biting at the juncture of neck and shoulder. Kantaro gasps sweetly in his ear, all pleased surprise, and Haruka smiles against Kantaro's skin. He cradles the back of Kantaro's head in one hand and catches Kantaro's earlobe between his teeth, even as his hand snakes down to find the knot of Kantaro's hakama. He pulls the ties out of their carefully wrapped bow and breathes warm air into Kantaro's ear, and Haruka can feel him shudder a little as Kantaro bites his lip and tilts his head back. Haruka's surprised when he feels something tugging at his neck, and he realizes that Kantaro is pulling his necktie free, and his knees have come up to clutch around Haruka's hips. He's a bit taken aback, because when he thought of this, he always thought of doing it to Kantaro. It had never quite occurred to him that Kantaro might be equally active, instead of just a responsive recipient. Haruka realizes Kantaro's cheeks are flushed, and he's imagined him like this since the onsen, wondering if Kantaro would have the same look of heated, relaxed pleasure in bed as he did in water. But Kantaro is anything but relaxed. His hands are knotted in Haruka's shirt, and his breathing is uneven, full of stuttered gasps when Haruka pulls his gi open and begins sucking on his pale nipples. Haruka pays careful attention, flicking the stiffened tips with his tongue while his hands smooth down Kantaro's sides to roam restlessly over his hips. There is a kind of naming in this, too, and Haruka intends to stake his claim thoroughly. He shoves Kantaro's hakama down around his thighs and curls one hand around Kantaro's erection, pumping him slowly, teasingly. Kantaro's head is turned to the side, the back of his hand pressed against his mouth in some sort of deluded effort to keep himself from making noise. He yelps in earnest when Haruka bends down to suck the head of Kantaro's erection into his mouth, lapping at it delicately, and Kantaro's sighs have given way to little helpless moans that Kantaro can't stop, no matter how hard he seems to be trying. Haruka moves one hand lower between Kantaro's thighs, but stops.
Kantaro.
Kantaro manages to open his eyes, although they look glazed over and not really comprehending.
Haruka? Do you have any oil?
Haruka asks, trying to sound calm, but really just sounding raspy and wanting. Kantaro is already flushed, but that doesn't prevent him from freezing up with embarrassment.
On the dresser, he says.
Haruka can't help a knowing little smile from reaching his lips. It's good to know that even Kantaro has his needs, although he's thankful that the image of Kantaro stroking himself off at night hasn't been living in his brain all these months. The oil smells like the base of some of the spelled essences Kantaro uses in his work, and Haruka finds that appropriate. He urges Kantaro onto his side and strokes his erection a few more times, just enough to get Kantaro back to a state of hazy pleasure before he slips his fingers between Kantaro's buttocks and presses in. Kantaro's head is thrown back onto Haruka's shoulder, and he gasps a little, but he's not shocked, which is a bit odd because Haruka is sure that no one's ever done this to Kantaro before.
Kantaro, he murmurs, you...
Kantaro presses down onto his fingers with a delicious moan, and Haruka realizes with a start that just because no one's ever done this to Kantaro, it doesn't mean he's never done it to himself. Haruka spares half a second to also be thankful that he didn't think of Kantaro doing this all these months either. And then he smooths more oil over his erection, pulls one of Kantaro's legs up, and presses in slowly, his mouth on Kantaro's bare skin.
Haruka,
Kantaro says quietly when he's seated fully inside.
Haruka.
Haruka decides that's permission aplenty and thrusts slowly, lazily a few times, before Kantaro tries to push back against him. Kantaro can't really get any leverage, and Haruka decides to solve that problem by tugging him up onto his hands and knees. He tilts Kantaro's hips and thrusts back in, hard, and Kantaro just makes a spine-tingling moan and meets Haruka's next thrust enthusiastically. It figured, really. How could he have forgotten that Kantaro was such a little hedonist? He slings himself over Kantaro's back and moves harder and faster, and he wants Kantaro to remember this, to remember him. He wants Kantaro to lie in bed and touch himself and think of nothing but the way Haruka is touching him right now. Kantaro's pleased noises have given way to desperate mewling sounds, and Haruka can hardly think anymore beyond the snapping of his hips against Kantaro's buttocks, can barely spare a hand to jerk Kantaro to whimpering completion. And then it's not much longer until he shudders to a stop, emptying himself into Kantaro, finally sealing this thing between them, which is a bonding ritual all of its own. They collapse onto the futon afterward, Haruka finding Kantaro's mouth for a messy kiss, the both of them too busy trying to catch their breath for it to be a long one. Kantaro is pressed against his side, and Haruka shifts a little in preparation for getting up to find something to clean them off.
Haruka, Kantaro says, gripping his arm. Stay.
And Haruka does, because there are some commands he is happy to obey. Kantaro is slow to wake in the mornings, which is fine by Haruka. It gives him time to watch Kantaro's unguarded expression, which is something of a rarity. Eventually, Kantaro stirs, and when he opens his eyes, he gives Haruka the sweetest smile and says, "Good morning." "Yes," Haruka says, and kisses him gently before allowing Kantaro to escape off to the washroom. Breakfast proceeds as normal, except for the fact that Yoko-chan is bright red and can't seem to keep her grip on anything. Haruka supposes there's no way she didn't hear them last night, although Kantaro is really making a masterful effort towards pretending everything is business as usual. When Sugino and Mu-chan drop in, though, all hell breaks loose. Mu-chan cuddles up to Kantaro in a way that Haruka has deemed inoffensive, no matter Sugino's protests to the contrary. Mu-chan whispers something that makes Kantaro blush and laugh with embarrassment. Sugino catches it, though, and says, "Kantaro! Let go of Mu-chan! It's not proper for a married man to be holding someone else's wife like that!" Kantaro sits up straight, looking outraged. "I'm not married," he says. Haruka rolls his eyes and sips his tea. "He's married," he tells Sugino flatly. Yoko-chan drops a cup, which goes rolling harmlessly across the floor.
Married? Oh, Kan-chan! She squeals.
"Haruka!"
Kantaro turns beseeching eyes towards him.
"Tell them I'm..."
Haruka looks at him steadily. And Kantaro sighs heavily, although he doesn't seem that put upon.
"Married," he concludes.
"Congratulations," Sugino tells Haruka.
"Moo, moo,"
Mu-chan adds, the very model of polite manners. Haruka continues sipping his tea and tucks one arm around Kantaro, who is still blushing and looking shocked. But they're both right where they should be, and that's more than enough. The end.